Good morning, everybody. So this year, Maseches Mo'ed Katan, Daf Yud Zayin, is dedicated by David and Paula Bounzer and Omo Construction. The breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Le'ilay Nishmas Fega Bas Chaim, Shimon Ben Zev. So we're going to pick up from two lines from the bottom on Daf Tezayin and Beis with a new topic. We're talking about different halachos of Nidoy, excommunication. So that's where the Gemara is going to pick up. So Amar Rabbi Tanchum Bereid Rabbi Chia Ish Kvar Akko, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, Amar Rabbi Simlai. So Rabbi Tanchum, the son of Rabbi Chia from Akko, it said in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, in the name of Rabbi Simlai. The Amar Allah, Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Rav Huna. Some have this halacha quoted in the name of Rabbi Tanchum and the name of Rav Huna. V'amila Amar Rav Huna. Some have it in the name of Rav Huna Lechude. So one of the Amoraim said the following halachas. Tamid shenida lechvado niduyev niduyev. So if you have a Talmud, right, a scholar, but not at the level of a full Rebbe, right, he's still considered a Talmud. If that Talmud puts somebody in nidoy because that person insulted them, was insulting their kavod, so it's not because the person did anything wrong in the levels of not keeping a halacha or doing violating certain precepts, but it's rather because he basically insulted that Talmud. So niduyev niduyev. The halacha is that nidoy does take place. How do I know that nidoy takes place? Titania, we have a brisa. Mudela rav, mudela talmud. If a rebbe puts somebody in nidoy, that nidoy applies not only to the rebbe, but also to the talmud, that the talmud has to keep that person away from them as if they're in nidoy. However, mudela talmud, if a talmud puts somebody in nidoy, the nidoy is chal, it falls on to the talmud person relationship, but he's not menuda to the Rebbe. And there's the Rebbe still allowed to have communication with that person. So the Gemara makes an inference. L'rav hu de'ena menuda. He's not in a nidoy to the Rebbe. Halukhuli alma menuda. But he is in a nidoy to everybody else. So the Talmud puts this gentleman in a nidoy. So he's in a nidoy for the Talmud and the general population. But he's not in a nidoy to the Rebbe. So the Gemara tries to clarify exactly what is the Talmud putting this person in a nidoy for? Why is this person being excommunicated? So lemai, what's the reason this person was put in a nidoy? If the person's being put in a nidoy because he violated, let's say, a specific halacha, he was pogeya in the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? He insulted God or did something to insult, God, mili dishmaya, right? Heavenly matters. There's no wisdom. There's nothing that goes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? God is number one, two, three, four. He's in charge. So if the person did something against God, why would the Rebbe now have to keep that nidoy, right? The Rebbe doesn't come above HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. Elolav lichvod asmo. It must be that the person was put into nidoy because he insulted the Talmud himself. So you see here, what do we see from this? That the Talmud who puts somebody in nidoy for insulting his kavod, the nidoy applies to everybody. It just doesn't apply to the Rebbe himself. Okay, that's the end of that topic. So now that we're talking about Talmidim and Nidoy, we get into a discussion of certain halachos about how the Rabbanon should act. So Amar Rav Yosef, Sarva Me Rabbanon, Avedina L'Nashe. If you have a young rabbinical scholar, he would be allowed to basically paskin for himself. He's allowed to make judgments on his own. Rashi points out that we're talking about monetary judgments, that he can basically paskin, you owe me money, right? Somebody owes him a loan. He can paskin his own, you have to pay me back. And the Gemara points out, b'milsa de psikalei, as long as it's a very clear-cut matter, right? There's no question, there's no shaila. If it's a very clear-cut matter, a rabbinical scholar can basically paskin the halacha on his own. The Gemara gives another story about a rabbinical scholar. This one's not as, he didn't do as well. Hahu serva mirabanan, davu sanish shemune. There was a certain rabbinical scholar, and it went out in the town that he was doing inappropriate actions. And the Gansi Vilgmar later on, he was basically having possibly illicit relationships or inappropriate communication with women. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hechi Liavet, what should we do with this young rabbinical scholar? Lishamte, should we put him in a shamta? Should we put him in excommunication? Srichli Rabbanan, the rabbis are required. He was a teacher. So we need him to teach the rabbis, right? He was a professor or a teacher. How can we put him, excommunicate him? The younger scholars are going to be without their teacher. Lo l'shamte, if we don't put him in excommunication, kamas kol shma d'shmaya, we're going to be basically mechal l'shem shemayim, right? In other words, nothing comes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? To not put him in a shamta, that's going to be a chil Hashem. So Amar le Rabbi Bar Chana. So he spoke to Rabbi Bar Chana about the situation. Mi d'shmiya lach baha, do you have any suggestions what to do with this gentleman? So Amar Lai, Hachi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Bar Chana said back to him, Ene Rabbi Yochanan, This is a pasuk in Malachi. It says that the lips of the Kohen should protect the Daf, protect the knowledge. Torah Yivakshin Pihu, right? The words of Torah should be sought from his mouth. Why? Key? Because Malach Hashem Svakos. So he's basically comparable to an angel of Hashem. So Rabbi Yochanan makes the following drasha. Im Domeh Harav L'Malach Hashem Yivakshin Torah Pihu. Why are you seeking the Torah from the mouth? Because he's similar to L'Malach Hashem. Because he's on the level Ke'ilu of a Malach. He's whole, pure-hearted. The Imlav of the person's not on level of Malach Hashem, that he has certain sins on him, he's, you know, doing inappropriate actions, you're worried about, don't seek Torah from him. So you're worried about, what are the Rabbanim going to do? How are they going to learn Torah? This person's a teacher. They shouldn't be learning from him because he's not keeping the precepts of the Torah. So, Shamtei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda puts him in a nidah. He excommunicates him. So the Sof, what happens after a couple, however period of time it occurs, Ichlash Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda becomes sick. He becomes ill. Asa Rabbanan Lishluyebe. So Rabbanan come to be Mevaker Cholim. They come to seek him out to see how he's doing. Vasi Hunani Badayu. This gentleman who Rabbi Yehuda put in Ashamta comes along with the contingent to visit Rabbi Yehuda. Kachazi Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda sees the man who's been excommunicated. He has a very interesting reaction. What does he do? Chayich. He laughs. So Amar Lai. So the gentleman who's excommunicated says to Rabbi Yehuda, well, Mr. Tayich Deshamte Lahu Gavra, it's not enough that you excommunicated this gentleman, referring to himself in the third person. Ella Achuche Nami Chayich, but you're also going to laugh at me? Like, it's one thing to excommunicate me. Now you see me, you laugh at me, it's very insulting. So I'm like, La B'di Dach Mechaynach, I'm not laughing at you. Ella Dachia Avlinan Lahu Alma, you know, Rabbi Yehuda's on his deathbed. He's thinking about the Alma Dasi, the future, the world to come. He says, when I come to that world, B'dicha daiti. You know, I'm basically laughing in my mind. Dafilu l'gavra kavaseich lo chanifilai. Because even to you, this you know, this very prestigious gentleman, he's a prestigious Torah scholar, teaching other Torah scholars, I was not afraid to put you in excommunication when it was deserved to be done so. So because I didn't show you any chanifa, I didn't show you basically any special privileges, any, you know, protexia, so I'm laughing because I'm having that rejoicing in that I'm going to have schar for that in the world to come. Eventually, nach nashi de Rabbi Yehuda. So what happens is that Rabbi Yehuda eventually passes away. Also, levei midrasha. So this gentleman now comes to the base midrash because he's been put in excommunication. He's trying to get out of it. He wants to get permitted to come back into the fold. So amar lahu sharuli. He says to them, to the base midrash, permit me, undo my shamta. Amar le rabbanon. So Rabbanan say to him, it's a problem. Gavra dechashiv k'Rav Yehuda lekahacha. There's no person now left in the base medrash. Now that Rav Yehuda died, there's no one here left on the caliber and the level of Rav Yehuda to permit the excommunication, because you know you need somebody that's on his level or equal to him. So Ella, what should you do? Zil legabe Rav Yehuda nisiya. Go to the base medrash of Rav Yehuda nisiya, the nasi. The, you know, he will be on the level of Rav Yehuda to permit your excommunication. Dishilah, he'll permit you. So Azul Kame, so the gentleman travels to the base medrash of Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah. So Amar Leila Rabbi Ami, so Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, this gentleman comes to him, he says, Rabbi Yehuda put me in excommunication, I want you to permit me. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is not familiar, obviously, with the situation. He says to Rabbi Ami, Puk Ayin Bedine, go look into the situation. Either that means go look into the practicals, and there's when did this happen, you know, what happened in the case. Or maybe Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is telling Rabbi Ami, look into the halacha. What do you think the halacha is in this situation? So imi baya l'mishrilai sharilai, if it's appropriate to permit him, to permit the sham to do so, and if it's not, obviously don't. So ayin Rabbi Ami b'dini, Rabbi Ami looks into the din, sabra l'mishrilai, so he thinks that perhaps we should permit him to permit the sham to and let him back into the fold. So amar b'shmuel bar nachmini al-raglo, so in this base medrash, Shmuel bar nachmini is overhearing or listening to Rabbi Ami's conversation, so he gets up and he stands on his feet, a matter of, you know, forcefulness. So amar, he says, by the Shifcha, the maidservant of Beis Rebbe, right? Rebbe had a maidservant who's relatively famous in Shas because she comes up a lot of times as teaching the Rabbanan different things. So the Shifcha, the maidservant of Beis Rebbe, puts somebody in a nidoy, and we'll see that situation in a couple of lines. And the Rabbanan would not be mevatel the nidoy for 3 years. So if the Shivcha of Beis Rebbe can put somebody in Nidoy, and the Rabbanan kept it for 3 years, Yehuda Chavarinu, Rebbe Yehuda, our friend who just passed away, Achas kama v'kama. Certainly, the nidoy should be should continue on for at least 3 years. You shouldn't permit his situation until at least 3 years has passed. And 3 years has not passed, obviously, from the context of the Gemara. So, Amar Rabbi Zeira, man de kaman de asa ha'ina ha'isaba. Look at the, you know, hashgacha pratis, so to speak, that this gentleman, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini, was in the Beis Medrash at this moment. Ha'isaba be Medrasha. De ha'kama shani lo asa. Because Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini apparently had not come to the Beis Medrash for many years, for whatever reason. And all of a sudden, he came now, at this moment, when we were about to be matri this guy's Shamta. So look at the Hashgacha Prati saying that, in other words, it worked out perfectly, that we are not going to be matri this gentleman's Nidoy, because Shmuel Bar Nachmini came and was able to testify about how long a Nidoy should last. So Shema Mina, lo mi vayi l'mishri lai. So because of that, you know, that coincidence, Hashgacha Pratis, they didn't permit the Nidoy because it was within 3 years. They had passed in like Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini. So Nafak, he went, so this gentleman who was put excommunicated went outside. Kika Bachi, so he starts crying. Right? This will be reminiscent of another Gemara that's very similar. The gentleman is at the bottoms of his depths. He's crying out his soul because he's put in a Nidoy. He's all alone. And he has no one to be matirit for him. So what happened while he's crying? Azel asa zibura v'tarke amase. So a zibura, some bug, a flying bug, comes and basically bites him on his male organ, his private area, v'shachiv, and it causes him to die. So that's what Rashi points out. That's how, when we said originally in the story that the thing that he was doing wrong, the shame ra that came out in his name was related to areas of zenosis, because this is mida kenegi mida, right? He did something inappropriate in relationships, and therefore he was punished in this manner. So the gentleman passes away. So now he passed away, they're trying to figure out what to do with him. Where are they going to bury him, right? We have a halacha that people who are, you know, there's different cemeteries, so to speak, that for tzaddikim, gemurim, different tzaddikim, different levels of righteousness and different levels of prestige. You have different levels in the cemetery, at least historically. So, Ailula Marasa de Chasidai. So they thought they should bring him to the caves, the burial area of the Chasidim, the highest level righteous people. So, Vilo Kibluhu. They couldn't do it. They wouldn't be allowed to bury him. If you look at Rashi actually says that what happened was that Achna, right, a serpent, basically covered the entrance to the cave and wouldn't let the gentleman in. So they bring the Aron, right, they bring this gentleman's body to the cemetery. They're trying to bury him into the highest level of Hasidim, and a snake swirls up and prevents entry. So what do they do? Ailu l'marasa didini. They bring him into the next level kever, which is the kever of the Dayanim, the kever of the judges. The Kabulinhu, that kever accepted his body. So Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? And it's actually, there's a machlokas here, Gersos, how to read it. We'll read it the way that our Gemara has it, and then we'll point out another way to read it. So my time, Rashi says, my time, what's the reason that the Dayanim, the kever of Dayanim, accepted this gentleman's body? This gentleman was in a shamta. He did illicit relationships. Why was he accepted into the kever of the Dayanim? So the Gemara says, why? Because the Ovid, Krebi Lai, because even though he did Isurim, he did them in a less inappropriate fashion than could be done. Because Rabbi Yulai has a lacha that the Tanya, you have a brisa, Rabbi Yulai Omer, Rabbi Yulai says, Imro Adam Shiyatar Miskaber Lav, if a person realizes that his Yetzer, Hara, his evil inclination is becoming so strong that he's not going to be able to overcome it. So obviously you shouldn't sin. No one's telling you to do Averas. But if you get to the point where it's so overcoming that the person knows he's going to be over the Avera, whatever that means, at least go to a place where you're not going to be recognized. So yelech lemakom she'imakirno. So you should go to a place where they don't recognize you. V'yilbash shecharim, put on dark clothes. V'yisatir shecharim, wear dark clothes. V'yasa mishlu chafetz, and then do what you want to do. So go to some nowhere place. Don't look like a Jew. Dress in dark. Dress in, you know, basically like you're in mourning, goth clothing, and do what you have to do. Yes, you're going to be over on the Avera. You're going to get punished for your Avera. You're not permitted to do that Avera. But at least you'll be doing an Avera on a personal level. It won't be a Chol Shem Shemayim. You know, you're not doing like Zimri and Cosby. You're going to do your thing, you know, in private.
Yeah. People nowadays never don't give a get. So I know recently a case around here where at least the kid was around here where the father didn't give a get like for 30 years.
Uh-huh.
And then he died. And I believe the son did not have to shiva for him.
Uh-huh.
I think they actually, there's halachas that apply that if someone dies in Chayrim, our Chayrim,
right,
he still don't sit Shiva for that
part. Right.
So,
right.
You know,
like that,
it almost sounds like a, you know, you go to the beach, you can do what you want, because like,
you're on vacation at the beach.
Depends which day you're on. If you go this week, I think there'll be a lot of people. No, saying like, you know, you're on vacation, right? No, so again, it doesn't permit people to do, this halacha is very important, it doesn't permit people to do things that you're not allowed to do. It's just a, you know, one approach to this halacha Rabbi Lai is that by doing Rabbi Lai's precepts of going to a place you don't recognize, wearing the shchar, it's going to actually give you control over your yetzer hara, because by the time you get to that extremes and you actually go through all these matters, it's almost like you fast Torah, right? By the time you get to that point, you're not going to do that avera, because it's crazy. You know, you're going to realize that what am I doing here? Actually, there's another girsa in the Kisvei Yad that what was the reason they accepted his body? And it said because he did like Rabbi Lai. The other answer actually is why did they not? Why the Chassidim, the Kever Chassidim, not accept his body? And the reason was it's because of Rabbi Lai. He did not keep to this precept because he did the Yisurim before Hesia because the Shem Ra came out on him. So obviously people knew that he was doing inappropriate actions. So it's different approaches as to understand what this gentleman did. Either way,
if you go to the beach, should you wear a black bathing suit?
Right, exactly. So I think this comes up, like people talk about if you're going, like it used to be like, I think Ramosha may have a tshuva, I don't want to misquote, but about going to a place that's not right for Malcolm Ben Torah to go to, about should you wear a kippah or not wear a kippah. So there's two approaches, right? Either you should say, take off your kippah if you're going to a place that you shouldn't be in, because don't be Michal Shem Shemayim, Rabbi Lai, right? Wear Shcholrim, the people shouldn't recognize you. Other people say, no, keep your kippah on so you're embarrassed, so that way you won't do it, right? There's different ways to approach that. I don't remember, I don't want to misquote, I didn't look it up beforehand. So, but that's an issue, right? Or, either way, there's also, either way, okay. So, we can talk more after. So, back in the Gemara. So, base Rebbe Mahi. So, the Gemara had quoted in passing that Rebbe's Shivcha, Rebbe's maidservant, had put somebody in Nidui. So, the Gemara says, let's talk more about that story. What was that story where Rebbe's maidservant put somebody in Nidui? The Amasa Debe Rebbe, Chazise Lahu Gavra, the Havi Machi Libno Gadol. So, in Rebbe's maidservant saw a gentleman that he was hitting his older child. And there's a child who had already reached a certain age where it's no longer appropriate to hit them because they might come and hit you back, as the Gemara is going to explain. So, Amra Lehavi Haugabra B'Shamta. She said, this person who's hitting his child should be put in a Shamta, in a, you know, Nidoi. Because he's violating the precept in Torah, you shouldn't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. In other words, by hitting an older child, you're going to cause him to hit you back. Hitting you back, a child hitting a father is an Isser D'oraisa, chi of Misa. So by hitting your child, you're causing him to be over on an Isser D'oraisa. So therefore, you're not allowed to hit a child. By you doing it, she put the person in a nidoi. D'tanya, we have a braisa. You shouldn't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. So it's not just talking about a physical stumbling block in front of a physical blind person, but it's also talking about putting people in a situation where you're going to cause them to sin. So, the pasuk's talking about somebody who's hitting their older child because the child's going to come to hit them back and be over on the Isser D'oraisa. New story. Reish Lakish have a mentor pardesa. Reish Lakish was watching an orchard. Asahu gavra v'ka'achol te'ini. So somebody came and started eating the fruits from the orchard. So Rama Be'kala, Reish Lakish screams at him, stop eating. But he doesn't listen. Amr lehavei hu gavra b'shamta. Reish Lakish says this person should be in a shamta because he's, you know, stealing. So Amr lei. So this guy says back to him. Adarav, the opposite. Lehavei hahu gavra b'shamta. No, you Reish Lakish should be in a nidoi. Why? Because if I'm chayav to pay you money, fine. I'm stealing from you. I'm stealing from you. But nidoi minis chayati lecha, so you should sue me in court. But don't put me in a nidoi. Don't put me in a shamta. I just stole from you, so ask me for your money back. But to put me in a shamta, so you inappropriately put me in a shamta, I'm going to put you in a shamta. So you got him back. So also the midrash. So Reish Lakish comes to the base midrash to know what's the halacha here. Who's right? Who's wrong? So Amar Lei. So Rabbanu say to Reish Lakish, Shelo nidoi. His nidoi is appropriate, and therefore Reish Lakish is now in a nidoi. Excuse me. Shalcha in a nidoi, but your nidoi was inappropriate, and therefore that gentleman is not in a nidoi. So what comes out is that the ganav appropriately put Reish Lakish in a nidoi. Reish Lakish inappropriately put the ganav in a nidoi.
I'm sorry for interrupting. Yes. When like in the Jewish Havdalah of adults, like in the Jewish press, unfortunately, it's a list of girls with guys that don't give a get, right?
Uh huh.
You know what I mean? That list.
Okay.
When we put someone in a nidoi, right? What exactly does that entail? What's the situation? Can't talk to that guy.
So that's a great question. I'm going to punt because I'm not a local Orthodox rabbi. So we'll have to clarify. What Nidoi means nowadays and how it applies to the Gemara. Obviously, you'd have to go through from the Gemara to the Rishonim to, you know, Torah Shulchan Aruch, and what need do I need
certainly
not
an
this?
Too.
Yeah, I mean, again, the context obviously is coming from this time of the Gemara where Nidoy involved, you know, obviously, it was more, it seems, you know, strange in the Gemara is people are accepting of them, that they behaved in a certain way, that they, yeah, as you said, they had to be with, you know, four amos removed from everybody, they had to be in nice, almost isolation, and, you know, do teshuva, et cetera, and, you know, request forgiveness. How that applies nowadays, obviously, is another conversation, yeah. So Rish Lakish now in the Nidoy. So Rish Lakish says, "My Takante, what should I do to fix it?" So the Rabban said to him, "Zil Lagabe, Dishilach, go ask him to permit your Nidoy, right? And just go to the person who put you in Nidoy and ask him to forgive you." So Rish Lakish says, "I have a problem. The guy's gone. If he came in, he was wearing a ski mask. He ran away with my fruit. I have no idea who the guy is. How am I ever going to find him?" So Amrule, they said to him, "Zil Lagabe Nasiya." So you have to go to the Nasi. We had this earlier in the daf. Go to the head Nasi. Dishilach, let help permit it for you. Detanya, we have a brisa. Niduhu, but you know your day of minidahu. If somebody put you in nidoy and you don't know who that person was, but it was appropriate for them to do so, go to the nasi. The nasi, as the head of all of the Jewish community, will be able to be matter the nidoy. So Amar Rav Huna says, "Beusha eskinu." Another situation. Again, going back to Jewish leaders who are doing inappropriate actions. What do we do with them? So Rav Huna says that there's a takanas usha in the town of Usha. They made a takana. Av Beis Din, right, the head of the Beis Din, so a very high level ranking official, Shesarachle, who is Sarach, meaning he did something inappropriate. You do not put him in a Nidoy. Ela Omerlo, we tell him more Bechavadik, we do it in a more Kavadik way. We tell him the Pasuk from Malachim, Hachbet Vishab Vesach, and there's Hachbet, and there's make your head heavy, Rashi says in his first explanation, and return to your house. In other words, you're not formally putting him in a Nidoy, but you basically tell him, B'darach Kavod, you know, take a cool down. Go home, rest in your house. You're kind of isolated from society for a little bit, but not in a formal nidoy process.
Doesn't say for how long?
Doesn't say for how long, no. So, chazar, let's say he does that, but he continues to sin. So then, minadinosa, we will put him in a nidoy. Why? Even though this guy's the avnazi, the avbizn, he's, you know, high up. Mibnei chal Hashem, because no one is above, like we said before, no one's above Hashem. Chal Hashem, person is violating halachas, sure, you act respectfully the first time, but at some point, you know, the buck stops, the gentleman has to go into nidoy. Uflika de Reish Lakish, this disagrees on Shitas Reish Lakish, because the Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, Tamachacham shet sarach, eminad no sopa prasio, Tamachacham sarach sins, we do not put them in a nidoy in public, no matter what, based on the pasuk in Hosea, shenemar, v'chashata hayom, right, you will stumble in the daytime, v'chashal gam navi imcha, and the prophet will stumble with you laila, at night. So Gemara said, drasha, kisahu kalaila, that you should cover up his stumbling like the night. In other words, you don't do it in public, you do it in private. He's stumbling at the nighttime. Why does the navi compare his stumbling to the nighttime? Because the nighttime is in darkness, no one sees it. So too, you should cover up, not cover up the incident, but you should cover up the rebuke as if it's the nighttime. Okay, Marzetra Chasida, Kimechayas Rebbe Rebbe Shamta, Chasetra, when there was a rabbinic scholar who had to be put into Shamta, Bereisha Mishamis Nashi, he would do something fascinating. He would put himself, the Rebbe would put himself in Shamta first, the Chadar Mishamis Ladidei, and then he would put the Talmud in Shamta. Kiyabai Ayal Beushpizei, when he would go home with his contingent at night, Shari Leila Nashi, first he would permit his Shamta before he would go into his house, the Chadar Shari Leila Didei, and then he would permit the Shamta of the student. Amar Gidol, Amar Rav. Tamachacham nada la asma, made for the asma. So you see from this halacha that Tamachacham could put himself in Nidoy, and he could also take himself out of the Nidoy. Amar Papa, Tesili, Delo, Samti, Servant Mirbana, Mail. Amar Papa was praising himself because he felt it was inappropriate to excommunicate the Talmidei Chachamim. He says, I should receive basically a schar because I never put a Talmudic scholar in Nidoy, in a Shamta. So what did I do? I never put them in Shamta, but you'll see what he did do, which isn't so great. He said, when a rabbinic scholar was required to be put in a Shamta, what would I do? I would do what they did in the West. We would give makos. He gave makos, right, lashes, to the Serva Merabanan, and he then put them in Nidoy. You see how serious the Shamta and the Nidoys were in that time, that they preferred to get lashes, right, Malkus. They preferred to get Malkus over putting somebody in a Shamta. So Papa says, I never put them in a Shamta. Instead, I punished them by giving them Malkus. Okay, moving on. Amarav. My Shamta. So what is the Lashon of Shamta? Where does that language come from of putting somebody in a Shamta? So Amarav. Shem Misa, right? Shamta, Shem Misa, the name of death, because it's Ki'ilu, you're basically putting the person in a state of death, you know, you're excommunicating them from the world around them. Shmuel Amar, Shemama Yehei. It should be desolate, right? Same idea, desolation. O Mahanya Be, Kiticha Betura, Tenura. Shmuel points out that the Shamta works like the fat in a oven, Rashi explains. That what happens is because just like the fat in the oven gets absorbed into the oven, it can never be fully taken out. So too, the Shamta, when you put something in Shamta, even if you permit it, it never fully leaves the person. It stays with the person behind them. It affects their soul, their body, in a way that can never be fully removed, right? So Shamta, even when it's lifted, it's not fully lifted. Some remnants remain behind in the person. So look at Reish Lakish. That again argues on how Reish Lakish understands it. Tam Reish Lakish, Kishem Sha Nichneses B'Masayim V'Arbaim V'Shmona Ivarim, Kach Kishehi Yosa Yosa M'Masayim V'Arbaim V'Shmona Ivarim. Just like a Nidoi, when it enters through all 248 limbs of a person's body. So when it leaves, it fully leaves from all 248 limbs of the person's body. Kishehi Nichneses, how do we know when it enters? That's true. Dichseh, the Pasuk says, V'Yisah Ir Chirim. That the city should be a cherem, should be desolate. Cherem be gematria, cherem in gematria, right? 8 plus 200 plus 40. Masayim v'arba mishmona is 248. Havu. Kishi yosa, how do we know that when it leaves, tichsiv. Birogas rachim tiskar, in your anger, rachim, right? Mercy, you should remember. Rachim be gematria, hachi havu. Rachim in gematria is also 248. So you see, when it comes in all 248. When it goes out through all 248, there's no remnants left behind. Rav Yosef, Shadi Shamta Agan Vusa Dechava. Rav Yosef says that we put a Shamta on the tail of a dog. What's the story? V'idi de Avda, and it affected the dog appropriately. Because what happened? Da'u Kaba, there was a dog. Tava Achal Misanayid Rabban, it was eating the shoes of the Rabbanan, right? It would go to the dorms during Seder and start eating the shoes of the rabbis. So V'lo Havi Yadi Manu, the Rabbanan actually had no idea who was eating the shoes. They didn't know if it was an animal, what was going on. So Shamtu Lei, they put a Shamta on whoever's eating the shoes, without knowing who or what it was. Isli beinura began vusai, so a fire got lit on the tail of the dog that was eating the shoes, v'achlasai, and it ate up the tail of the dog. So you see, even the tail of a dog, a shanta, is chal on it. Hahu alma, tabi kamitzarele lahu serva mirabana, and there was a very strong gentleman, you know, a bully, who was bothering one of the rabbinical scholars. Also kamedra of Yosef, so the gentleman came before Rav Yosef and says, I have this bully, what should I do with him? Samarlay, Zil Shamta, go put him in a Shamta. Samarlay, he said, one problem. Mistafina, I mean, I'm worried, he's going to beat me up, right? If I put this guy in a Shamta, he's not going to listen, he's a bully, he's not, you know, keeping the precepts of Halacha. He's going to hear about that, he's going to pummel me. So what should I do? Amrlay, Shakle Pishale. So you should take a formal declaration of an Nidoi on him. And I just go to the Beth and get a formal declaration that this gentleman is an Nidoi. So he says back to him, Amrlay, Kol Shekain Dimistafina Minay. That's a really bad idea because he's going to be even more upset at me. He's going to pummel me even more. So Amrlay, so he says to him the following, Shakle Achsie Bechada. So take the document of Nidoi, put it in a jar, flipping over Tama Beis. The achse be kivari, go to the cemetery so there's no one around. The kari be apashipuri, and blow into this jar 1,000 shofar blasts. The arban yomin, over 40-day period. So azal abil hachi, so he did so. The gentleman did so. So in other words, he took out a shamta on this, you know, bully, went to the cemetery, put it in the jar, blew the shofar blast. After 40 days, paka kada, the jar burst, umis ama, and then the bully died. So as you can see the symbolism here of the jar to the bully, etc. So the Gemara wants to clarify a couple points. My shipuri, what does it mean that you blow a shofar blast? Why is the shofar called a shipuri? Where does that language come from? We just remember our Chodesh Elul, so it's good to start talking about shofar a little bit. So my shipuri, shenifra mimenu, because shipuri, that shenifra, and right, play on words, that he'll get payback, right? The shofar blasts are going to cause him to get payback for all his evil actions. My taver, why did he blow a taver, broken kolos, right? The broken kolos. Rabbi Yitzchak Barei, Rabbi Yehuda, Tari Bate Rami, because the shofar blasts break those who have a high ego, right? The high houses, right? It brings people down from their high horses or from their mounds of ego. So the shofar blasts to break up that haughtiness. Tanya Yabraisa, Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel, Kol Makom Shenasnu Chachamim Einehem Omisa Oni, because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that any place that the Rabbanan put their eyes, there's either going to be death or there's going to be poverty, because you're going to break down the haughtiness. Okay, so that's the end of the sugya regarding excommunication. Now we're going to move back on to the Mishnah. If we remember from the Mishnah, on the beginning of the parak, the Mishnah was talking about people who are allowed to get haircuts on Chol HaMoed. Elu Megalchim B'Moed. Who are allowed to get a haircut? People who are unable to get haircuts before Chol HaMoed. Two of the examples listed in the Mishnah were a Nazir and a Mitzara Mitumas L'Taharas, a Nazir whose Nazirus ends, or a Mitzara who goes from the Tuma to the Tahara status, and they need to get haircuts. So, Baminei Rabbi Yirmiya mi Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Yirmiya asked Rabbi Zera the following question. When you say that Mitzora and a Nazir are allowed to get haircuts, is that only when they were not able to get a haircut before the Yontif because their process ended on Yontif or on Chol HaMoed, and therefore the first opportunity to get a haircut is Chol HaMoed? Or is it even if they ended their process, let's say, 3 days before Chol HaMoed, a day before Chol HaMoed, would they be allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed? Now, what would be the logic that they would be allowed to get a haircut if they had time beforehand? Right? The whole point of the reason they're allowed to get a haircut is because they couldn't do it beforehand. So why would this person who had time beforehand be allowed to get it beforehand? So Gemara's going to elaborate why that might be. Amrla, he said to the following. Tanya, we have a brisa. Anybody who's allowed to get a haircut on Moed because they were unable to beforehand, it's because they were unable to beforehand. If they had time beforehand, the guy gets released from jail 3 days before Chol HaMoed, obviously he's not allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Nazir Mitzora, Afal Pisha Hayalam Pnai, even though they had time beforehand to get a haircut, and they did not do so, Mutar, and they're still allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Why? Shall Yeshu Karbonosayim, because the halacha is that the Mitzora and the Nazir need to bring certain karbonos at the end of their process. In order to bring those karbonos, they have to shave or cut their hair. So if we don't let them cut their hair on Chol HaMoed, they're not going to be allowed to bring their karbonos. So we don't want them to, they already delayed their karbonos. They already did what they shouldn't have done. We don't want them to delay bringing their karbonos any further. So the chachamim allowed them to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, so that way they wouldn't be delaying bringing their karbonos any longer. So even though it's almost like they didn't do what they were supposed to do, but we don't want them going any longer without bringing their karbonos. Bringing their karbonos is more important, and we waive the iser of cutting their hair on Chol HaMoed. Okay. That's that topic. Now we're going to switch into a topic which is a little more involved, but it's a very interesting topic. So Tana, there's a brisa that says the following. HaKohen va'avel mutarim b'giluach. A Kohen and an Avel are allowed to cut their hairs on Chol HaMoed. What's interesting is that our Mishnah did not list a Kohen and Avel. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out who is the Kohen and the Avel who's allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, and why would it be that one brisa holds you're allowed to do it, but yet our Mishnah holds that you're not allowed to do it. It doesn't list it as a case. So just as a review about Hilchos Avelos. So we know in Avelos that there's Shiva, which is 7 days, and then there's Shloshim, which starts right after Shiva, which lasts for 30 days from the time of the burial. And what we paskin is that Mixas HaYom Kikulo, right? Part of the seventh day is also the beginning of the next day, right? So in other words, if Shiva starts on, let's say, a Monday, so day number 7 would be Sunday. So if you kept a whole Shiva, Shiva would end Sunday night, and then Shloshim would start, you know, Sunday night into Monday morning. But if you say Mixas Hayom Kikula, which is going to be Abashol Shita, Shiva ends Sunday morning, and Shloshim begins right away on Sunday, on day number 7. It's an overlap of a day. So we're going to see how that comes out in a couple of moments. So here's what happens. Hay Avel Hechita. What's the case of the Avel? Ile Mashachal Shmini Shalom Be'er HaRegel. So let's say the Avel, his eighth day of Avelos is Erev HaRegel, right? So what's the eighth day? So yes, he had the full Shiva, and now it's day 8. So now it's clearly Shloshim. So then, of course, why can't he could get a haircut on Erev HaRegel? Ibayalei legluchei be'Erev HaRegel. He should be allowed to get a haircut on Erev HaRegel because he's in Shloshim, right? It's day number 8, so that's clearly Shloshim. Yontif is going to start. Therefore, we say Shloshim ends before the Yontif begins. Get a haircut on Erev Yontif just like anybody else. If you don't get a haircut on Erev Yontif, you can't get a haircut on Yontif because you could have done it beforehand. Ela shechash mishalal lios b'Shabbos Erev HaRegel. So then what must be? It must be that the eighth day, that full day of Shloshim, is on Erev HaRegel, but Shabbos. You can't get hair on Shabbos. You can't cut hair on Shabbos. So no, Ibayalei Legluchai Erev Shabbos. You're allowed to get a haircut on day number 7. Because day number 7, which is Erev Shabbos, it's the end of Shiva, but it's also the beginning of the Shloshim. It's the beginning of the Shloshim. It's Erev Shabbos, Erev HaRegel. Therefore, we permit you to get a haircut. And everyone would agree to that. Damar Rechista Amar Ravina. Rechista says in the name of Ravina, Bar Shila. Halacha ka Abishal, we paskin like Abishal, mixas hayom kikula. You can apply the day in two different ways. Umodim chachamim labashal. Even the chachamim who don't hold of mixas hayom kikula, they hold that Shiva the full 7 days. They agree in one situation with Abishal. B'shachal shmini shalo lios b'shabbos haregel. If day number 8 is on Shabbos and it's Erev Yantif, So therefore, day number seven is Erev Shabbos. Mudra legaleach be'erev Shabbos. You're allowed to cut your hair on Erev Shabbos, day number seven, because, again, we say Miksas Yom Kikulo. Day number seven is the end of Shiva, beginning of Shloshim. Therefore, on Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, you can Shloshim is going to be suspended. You can get a haircut because you're going to be going into Shabbos, Erev HaRegel, and then into the Regel. So what must be the situation? Lo Sricha, the case is, Shechal Shvi Shalom, Lios B'Shabbos Erev HaRegel. What happens is that the seventh day, day number seven, is on Shabbos, Erev HaRegel. So in other words, a person starts Shiva, let's say, on Sunday. Shabbos now is day number seven of the Shiva. A person would get up, so to speak, Shabbos morning. So when does Shloshim begin? Does Shloshim begin on Shabbos and then get canceled by Yontif? And therefore, when Chol Moed comes, the gentleman is no longer in Shloshim because he did Shiva until Shabbos morning. Shabbos day was Shloshim. Yontif starts, Shloshim's over, and now you're out of Shloshim. So you can get a haircut on Chol Moed. That would be Abishol Shita. The Chum would say, no, Shiva goes until Shabbos is over. Shloshim never started. So now this gentleman's Shloshim is suspended until after the Yontif. So he's not allowed to get a haircut because he was in Shiva until Yontif. Shloshim has not started yet, therefore he's not allowed to get a haircut. That's the machlokas. So what happened was, is, Chal Shvi'i Shelo Lios B'Shabbos Erev HaRegel. Tana Bara Savar, our Tana in the Braisa holds, Ka Abishol, like Abishol, De Amar Miksas HaYom Kikulo, part of the day is a full day. The Yom HaShvi'i Ola Lo L'Kan U'L'Kan. Therefore, day number seven, Shabbos, counts for Shiva and for Shloshim. V'Kevan De Shabbos Havei, since it's Shabbos, your Shloshim is ending on Shabbos, you can't get a haircut on Shabbos. Anasu, you're Anas, and therefore you get Herkan Cholamoi. Tani Dan Savra La Kirabanan, our Tana and our Mishnah, who does not list in Avel, holds like the rabbis. The Amar, Lo Amina Miksas Hayom Kikulo. We don't apply Miksas Hayom Kikulo. Vakati Lo Shlim Avelos De Shiva. Therefore, the full Shiva has not ended before the Yontif starts. Shiva ends when Yontif starts, and therefore you're not allowed to get a haircut. There's no Anas, you just have not been able to get a haircut yet. Okay, so that's the case of Avelos. Why there's an achlokas, whether an Avel can get a haircut in this situation, depending on how you paskin. What's the case of a Kohen? Why would one Tana say a Kohen could get a haircut on Chol Moed, and another Tana would say a Kohen cannot get a haircut on Chol Moed? Hi, Kohen, hechi dami. What's the case of the Kohen? So we know the halacha is that a Kohen, the Kohanim served in rotations in the Beis HaMikdash. Those were called the Mishmaros. Each one had a week they would serve in the Beis HaMikdash. During that week, the Chachamim said that they're not allowed to get a haircut during the week, because same thing as Chol Moed. We didn't want people to, the Kohanim were busy doing their jobs. They'd be going to the Beis HaMikdash. They'd be like, ah, I'll get a haircut while I'm doing the Karbanos. I'll take a break then. I don't want to take a break from work. I'll take a break while I'm serving on my Mishmar. Chachamim said, no, you can't get a haircut while you're working in the Mishmaros. So the case of the Kohen is that he was on the Mishmar and Yontif starts. Hechidami. Ilema Dishlo Mishmar to Erev HaRegel. If his Mishmar ends before the Yontif starts, so your mishmar ended. Go get a haircut. Why are you getting a haircut on Chol Moed? It's over. Ella lo sricha dishlem mishmar to beregel. What happened was is that his rotation ended on the Yontif. So Tana didan sabar kevan ditznam b'shlosha prakim b'shana. How you call mishmaros Shabbos? Be'muri haragalim uvechilak lachem apanim. Since we have a mishnah that says that three times a year all the mishmaros would be equal. In other words, on the shalosh regalim. It wasn't. You didn't have the regular mishmar schedule. All the kohanim had rights to the karbanos that were offered on the regal, right? That all the mishmaros were equal for the karbanos of the regalim and getting the lechem apanim on the regal. So, kiman dilo shlem mishmar to beregel. Tell me. So since that's true, that in other words they have this right to the karbanos even on the regal. So even though his formal rotation ended on the regal, since he still has rights to the karbanos throughout the regel, the Tana of the Mishnah holds that his Mishmar hasn't really finished. His Mishmar has never finished, right? He starts the Mishmar, you know, 4 days before Yontif. Even though that week rotation ends on the Chol Moed, since during Chol Moed he's still able to get these karbanos, it's as if his Mishmar applies for a week and a half straight, and therefore he's not allowed to get a haircut. Tana Bara Sabar, Avogav Deshayach Bahanach Mishmaros, even though he's still shayich to get some of these karbanos, as we said on the regal, mishmarte miyashlimale. It's still not his full turn. It's still not his full rotation. Yes, he still has perks and benefits, but he doesn't have the full rights of the mishmar. Therefore, his mishmar is formally over on the whatever day of Chol Moed, and therefore he's now allowed to get a haircut. So that's the machlokas, whether you're allowed to get a haircut on the when your mishmar ends on the Yontif or not. Okay, so now going, again, talking more about haircuts on the Chol Moed and with Avelos, the Gemara is going to elaborate a little further. So, Tanya Rabbanan, a second to bottom skinny line. Anybody who's allowed to get a haircut when Chol HaMoed occurs because they were locked up in jail or they were in Nazir, Mitzar, all these cases we listed before, the same halachos would apply if they were in Avelos, right? So somebody is unfortunately in jail. They have a family member pass away. They're in Avelos. They get released from jail in the middle of their Avelos. They would be allowed to get a haircut the moment they're released from jail. Just like they would be allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara asks the question, Vatanya, we have a braisa that argues with that. Asurin, the braisa says, you're not allowed to get a haircut in your me'evel. So Amar Chista, Amar Shila, Kitanya Hacha Mutarin, when is it that you're permitted to get a haircut? Bishitachfu Avalav, where you have double mourning. You know, as a person, not only did he have a release from jail during a mourning, but he had double mourning period. So he had a mourning, and then someone else passed away, unfortunately, in his family. So he had mourning on top of mourning. Therefore, he would be allowed to get a haircut if all those situations lined up, unfortunately, in the perfect situation. So, Ibish Tachfu Avla, but the Gemara says, no. If you have double mourning, you don't need to be released from jail, as an example, to be allowed to get a haircut. Because my area called Elusha Amru, why does it have to be somebody who's released from jail, etc., in the Mishnah? Afilu Kuli Amanami, anybody is allowed to get a haircut if they have a double mourning period. Ditanya Liba Braisa, Tachfu Avlov Zeachar Zeh. If you have double Avelos, where you immediately have one Avelos on top of another Avelos without a break in between, Hichbit Sara, Mekel Batar. If your hair gets heavy, you're allowed to cut it off with a razor. Mechabes Ksusa B'mayim, you're allowed to wash your garments in water. So the Gemara says that's the Gemara is going to clarify that this permission is actually a limited permission, and we'll recap in a second. So ha imar Allah. No, when the Mishnah said that you're allowed to do hair cutting and washing when you have a double avelos, it's not a full permission because we said on that case amar of chista bitar. When the Mishnah Brisa says with a razor v'lobi misbarayim, you can't use scissors. In other words, it's only a limited cutting that you're allowed to do. You can't do a full haircut with scissors. You could just kind of shave it down a little bit with a razor. Mechabes kusa b'mayim, with water, v'lo b'neser v'lo b'ol. But now with detergent or with other chemicals, you could just kind of rinse the garment in, you know, a little bit of water, but you can't do a full laundry. So what comes out from that, basically, is that anybody who has a double avelos is allowed to do a light cutting with a razor, allowed to do a little bit of water wash, but not full laundry. But if you have a double avelos, and on top of that, you were released from jail, so you have all three things lining up, right? Released from jail, avelos on top of that, then you'll be permitted to do a full haircut, probably a full laundering as well. So that's kind of the distinction between those situations. Amar of Chista, Chista says, Oso Marisis tells you, Aval Asar B'Tichboses. You see from here that an Aval is not allowed to do laundry because we only permit laundry in specific situations. In general, Aval would not be allowed to do laundry, and we had that on the prior daf. Okay. Tanya Rabbana, just to finish up, Kishem Sh'amru Asar L'Galeach B'Moy, just like it's Asar to cut your hair, to cut your hair on Chol HaMoed, Kach Asar L'Itolsi Pernayim B'Moy. So too is Asar to cut your nails on Chol HaMoed. De Rabbi Huda, she does Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi Mat, Rabbi Yossi says it's permitted to cut your nails on Chol HaMoed. Kishem Sh'amru Aval Asar L'Galeach B'Moy Evel, just like Aval is not allowed to get a haircut on his days of Avelos, Kach Asar L'Itolsi Pernayim B'Moy Evel. He's also not allowed to cut his nails during the Avelos. Rabbi Huda, she says Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi Mat, Rabbi Yossi permits it. Amar Ula Halacha Rabbi Huda ba'Avel. Rabbi Ula says that Halacha is like Rabbi Huda during Avelos. Halacha Rabbi Yossi b'Moed, but Pascal like Rabbi Yossi who permits it during Chol HaMoed. Shmuel Amar, just to finish up on top of Yechesem and Aleph, Halacha Rabbi Yossi b'Moed uva Avel. We Pascal like Rabbi Yossi that's permitted to do it on Chol HaMoed. It's also permitted to do it in during Avelos to cut the nails. The Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel says halacha kedivrei hamekel ba'avelos. General concept that we're going to see a lot. The halacha is like the one who's more mekel in avelos. Avelos is drabanan. We're more mekel in hilchos avelos. If you have a machlokas, we're going to paskin like the more mekel shita. How we paskin halacha? Consult your local Orthodox rabbi. Thank you for letting me substitute in for this year, and hope everyone has a good time.